lot to do with parenting. If you're a parent or know a parent or trying to help somebody parent, or you were a parent or might be a parent, that would be a good message to get on how parents are to honor their children and how children are to honor their parents and how parents raise children that know how to honor. It's going to be, these next two are going to be awesome. Today's going to be pretty good too. We're talking about fathers. The title of my message is Not Many Fathers in the Context of Honor. Let's look at the definition of honor once again that I put up 2 weeks ago. Honor means value, worth, and weight. And I gave you the example. The reason it means weight is if you're driving down the highway and there's a little piece of paper floating in the road, you don't respect it. You don't honor it because of its relative weight to you. You're just going to drive right over it or through it. But if there was an 8,000-pound boulder in the road, you're going to respect it. You're going to give it some honor. You're going to defer to it or submit to it because of its weight. That's part of the content of the word honor, putting value. And God tells us to honor him. In fact, the word glory, you know, we say glory to God. The word glory literally means weight. Is that God has significance. He has weight. So what we're talking about is an attempt to restore honor into our culture because we see it ebbing away in our culture, don't we? The honor that, you know, I'll be 60, and so in my 60 years on this earth, I think I've seen a decline in honor. And so we want to attempt to make sure that we're not losing honor in our own life. We're going to try to bring honor back into our culture, our church culture, try to bring honor back into our homes. We have significant influence over what happens in our home, right? We need to elevate honor, bring honor back to its rightful place in our homes, in our marriages. The Bible talks very specifically about how to honor, how a wife is to honor her husband, and how a husband honors his wife, and how children honor their parents. Very specific instructions on honor. I think we can turn this thing around in our country. I mean, a lot of times we look at our country and we talk about how terrible our country is because of, you know, and we can point to certain indicators and confirm our greatest fears, right? But let me just kind of give us a little bit of perspective. I mean, the earth and people have civilization been around for about 6,000 years. There have been times in civilization and human history where things were worse than they are now. Do you remember a time when there was a guy named Noah? And God said everybody on the whole planet except for 8 people, the intent of their heart was evil continually to the extent where he just wiped out everybody except for 8. You remember 2 cities named Sodom and Gomorrah? That got pretty bad over there. In fact, the nation of Israel at times has been extremely reprobate and done some very strange evil things. I don't even want to go into some of the things that they've done. We could look at the civilization of Rome, things they've done, Greece, many countries, many areas of the world. And so really putting things in perspective, I don't want to say that we're great, but kind of let's put it in balance and maybe it's not too late for our country. I mean, really, when you look at it, we have things in our civilization that 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, never even heard of. The freedoms that we have, the same laws apply to everybody, regardless of your status in life. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. I don't want to give up on this country. And I also want to honor the fathers that we have in this room today. Today's not a day to beat up our fathers. I want to really honor our fathers. I'm going to give honor to every father in the room. Stand up. Will you just stand up for a minute? And we want to honor you. In fact, we've got some gifts. And a couple of the ushers. Or just stay standing until you have an opportunity to take a gift. Just a little token of our appreciation as a church, of you as a father. And we just pass those baskets around and pick a gift out of that to say that we honor you. And, you know, we have some great fathers in this room. And we could go around and talk about different things that they do. But, you know, every one of them, I want you to know, men, you're the salt of the earth. You realize that? In a world that has abandoned fatherhood, you men stand out as beacons of light in a world full of darkness. You might be the first one to say, oh, but, you know, I'm so far from perfect. I didn't say you're perfect, but you're light years ahead of most of our generation. Do you realize that? The fact that you're in church today tells me that you're setting a standard for your family and for our culture. You know, and don't focus so much on the things that you fail to do and your weaknesses. I know that God will work on our weaknesses as fathers every day, and we should be growing and we should be increasing, but just focus on how far you've come and how much you've changed. We honor you, fathers. God bless you and thank you. You guys can be seated. You know, the Bible talks about honoring God, honoring the king or, you know, governments. It talks about honoring parents. It talks about honoring authority figures in our life. It talks about honoring the elderly. And again, you could see it kind of a decline in our country, but then we just say to ourselves, you know, do I honor these arenas in my life? The Bible talks about honoring the unfortunate. You know, we place a different level of honor. Like if you're an employee, you honor your boss in certain ways, and we say honor the unfortunate. So the respect that we give to our boss is different than the respect we give to this other arena. But everybody deserves a level of honor. Every person is a creation of God. That in itself deserves respect and honor. And those that are less fortunate, they still have a level of honor. And that's what I love about our country, our legal system. This is unheard of, that the least among us is protected by the same safeguards that the highest, the most rich, the laws apply equally. That's kind of an example of how God says to honor everybody. We can honor the unfortunate. Wives honor their husband, the Bible says. Husbands honor your wife. We're told to honor each other. Honor fatherhood, the institution of fatherhood. In fact, it says to give double honor to those who lead in such a way as a high standard. So sometimes to be able to do that, to be actually be able to give, sometimes the greatest hindrance to our ability to giving honor to someone else is the fact that we have father wounds. We have wounds from the fact that father figures, not just our earthly father, sometimes it's somebody else that had that kind of a role in our life, a father role, hurt us. Let's just be honest. We're all fallible. We all make mistakes. Every single one of us has two default settings, selfishness and pride. Can we just be honest and just kind of take off the mask today? I don't stand up here as some kind of special human being. We're all the same. Every morning we get up, there's something on the inside of us that wants to be extremely selfish and extremely prideful. And the whole journey of Christianity is learning how to conquer those two demons that try to rear their ugly head in our life. And none of us is exempt from that. We're either doing better at conquering them or worse at conquering them. And sometimes it varies from day to day. Can we just be honest? And so we're all fallible. We all make mistakes. And through the journey of life, father figures have wounded every one of us in this room. I'm pretty sure of that. And how do we deal with that? And how we deal with that is a subject of today's discussion. And my goal today is that everybody would get blessed today, get a blessing, and we have an opportunity to address some of the father's wounds. In fact, toward the end of the service, we're going to have a prayer team up here to pray with people that need some help in those areas. You may not feel compelled to come up, but I tell you, God wants to do a healing work in your life as regards to father wounds. It's very real and it's very significant. It's pretty hard to live with somebody for 18 years and not get wounded. Come on. Something's going to happen. Some offense is going to happen. You know, I had a pretty good dad, I would say. But I remember a time in my life, a pastor called me out and said, I want to meet with you. I want to talk to you. I've been a Christian for about 5 years. He called me into his office and says, you got issues. And I said, I ain't got no issues. He said, you got issues. And I said, I don't. I'm fine. I'm good. He said, would you just pray about this? Would you just take right now and bow your head and ask the Holy Spirit to show you? He started to tell me, I believe you have some defenses. It's hard for people to get to know you. Something's happened. You've been wounded in your life. And it's like, no, this guy does not know what he's talking about. I used to respect him as a pastor, but what's this? He's calling me out. I didn't do anything. And he said, would you just pray right there? Would you just sit there right in that chair and just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything to you? I said, well, that wouldn't hurt anything. So I bowed my head and I began to see like a movie playing in my mind as if it was happening right then, an event that happened when I was about 6 years old. And if you'd asked me 5 seconds before if this ever happened, I'd have said, no, I don't have, that never happened. And it wasn't I was beaten or chained to a post or something like that. My father told me the day before he's going to take me to work with him on Saturday morning. And Saturday morning, he left for work without me. And I saw this. I saw myself waking up in the morning, hearing the door close, and I saw myself running down the street in my pajamas and my bare feet after the car, and he turned the corner and left. And when I saw that, I fell out of that chair, weeping so hard. The hurt that came into my heart, something as simple as that. I fell on the floor and cried for about a half hour, balled up like a little kid. And then he began to pray for me. And you know what? I felt like a different person. Then I began to realize, you know what? That happened when I was in first grade. Immediately after that happened, I started getting in fights every single day. My parents didn't know what to do with me. My mother used to talk to me every day. She'd say the Our Father before you punch somebody. I could do that pretty quick and then still punch them. They were trying to help me say the rosary, do what, you know. Pretty much from that moment on, pretty much every day I got in a fight. And I didn't know what it came from. I didn't know why I had anger and hurt and wound and rejection on the inside of me that stayed with me for 20 years until that event happened. So it wasn't, you know, I wasn't beaten, I wasn't abused, I wasn't chained in a cellar. Something as simple as that can totally, that devil comes in and uses something as simple as that and totally clouded my life. Came to a point when I was 16 years old, I watched this movie and this man was in prison for killing somebody because he got angry. And I heard the voice of God, and I wasn't even a Christian, and God said, that's you if you don't change your life. Because I used to get in a fight every day. If somebody disrespected me or did, I didn't care who they were, how big they were, how many buddies they had. I was going to hit them with something. And you know, eventually that's going to catch up with you. And I began to realize I had to start changing my life. But see, even after I made a decision to change the way I responded to the pain on the inside of me, it was never healed until that moment when I saw it and God delivered me from it and I was prayed for. And I felt like a different person the next day. Totally changed my life. The devil takes small things, he makes them huge, and he controls you. God is in the business of healing, forgiving, cleansing, changing, and setting us on a path that's better than the one we were on before. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll look at verse 14. A couple of statements and where I get the title of my message. Paul, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Corinth was a city much like modern America. And here's what he's writing to this church that he planted. He says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Now look what he's going to say. He wants to take a role that's different than most. He says, you're my dear children. I have a concern for you that goes above just the level that many people might have for you. In verse 15, even though you have 10,000 guardians, some translations say instructors or teachers, in Christ, so even in the kingdom, we got a lot of people that instruct, that teach. He said, you might have 10,000 people that, you know, give you information, but he says, you don't have many fathers. You do not have many fathers. A person who walk with you and talk with you and hold your hand and take you through the difficulties of life and be concerned about what concerns you and be there for you and help you and nurture you and challenge you. Not many fathers. And we're blessed if we have one or two fathers in our life. I tell you, you're extremely blessed. And John Maxwell says this, if you've got three close friends in your life, you're extremely blessed. I mean, having good people around you that are close to you, that care about you, that will be empathetic with you, it's a precious thing to behold and to have in our life. He said, you don't have many fathers, Paul's saying, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. You know, social networking has created a culture of connections without true relationships. In our homes, sometimes we have rules without relationships, which always leads to rebellion. In Christianity, sometimes we have religion without a relationship, which just becomes traditions and religiosity. You know, to a lot of people today, maybe even here in this room, are not very excited about a Father's Day because of memories of the past. Your experience with your father may not have been that great, and you still carry hurts. wounds, pains, the pain of words that were said and words that were never said, of things that happened and things that never happened. You can carry the pain. But I want to tell you today, God wants you to leave this room today without that pain. He wants you to leave that pain behind. And there is a supernatural way only in God where that pain can be healed. I didn't even know I had that pain. And I didn't even need my father to say. He didn't even remember, I'm sure, the event. But the Holy Spirit has a way of supernaturally going into our life, setting us free from the past and putting us on a new path. You might be here today and you're still hurting. Still hurting. A father wound is the deepest wound that you can experience. And I want you to leave here today with those wounds. God created fatherhood for our good, to relate us to a heavenly father. That's why he brings children into families, that mother and father would point us to a good heavenly father. Natural fathers are there for our good. Spiritual fathers, emotional fathers. These are all relationships that God designed to help us and to heal us, to protect us, to guide us, to strengthen us, and to prepare us for the future. God always intended for a father relationship to bring a spiritual transfer. And indeed, it happens. You can teach what you know, but you transfer what you are. You impart who you are. And that always happens in that type of relationship. And God always intended for a father relationship to bring a spiritual transfer that would benefit us. Mothers are awesome, aren't they? Don't we love our mothers? But there's a role that fathers have that mothers can never replace. Satan knows all this. And he comes in the midst of the relationships and takes something as simple as your dad forgetting to take you to work and says, "See that? You're worthless. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. He's not a man of his word." And Satan will jump on the smallest opportunity to put a spear in your heart, and a wound can only be healed by God. Many of the struggles that you and I are facing today are not the things that we think they are. Many of the arguments that we get in as husbands and wives is not really about the trash or the toilet paper. It's about a wound that's in our heart from many years ago. It's a demonic occurrence in our family of Satan trying to bring dishonor and disrespect and wounds and hurts. Yeah. You just think about some of the fights that you had. It's not about what you think it's about. It's an attack from the enemy because the devil knows the first institution that God put on the planet was the family. And Satan's primary goal is to bring a wedge into every family. Between every husband and wife, between every parent and child, Satan's working full-time, overtime, 24/7 to bring wedges into your relationships. And unless we're spiritually wise and aware of what he's doing, he will win the battle. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and heavenly places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's our battle. The battle is against Satan. It's against enemy forces. It's not against the people in your life. They're imperfect just like you. It's a heavenly battle. It's a spiritual battle. Unless you learn to wage spiritual warfare, you're not going to win that battle. But that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to give you a boost. We're going to give you help today. Like I said, we're going to have a team up here to pray with you and help you. Every one of us has been wounded, and every one of us needs healing. All those things that Satan brings into our life is about dishonoring what you're supposed to honor. Dishonoring the people in your life that we've been commanded to honor, and then in turn we transfer that to God, and we dishonor God. Really, Pastor? You really believe that? Yeah, I really do. Let's look at the last words of the New Testament. Go with me, if you would, to Malachi chapter 4, the last book of the Old Testament. So the last final words, the last two verses of the Old Testament before we start reading about Jesus, introduces the Messiah, his power, and his anointing in this way. Look at these verses. "Behold, I'm going," God speaking to his people, he's telling you, here's what's going to happen. "I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore." Here's what it's all about. Here's what it's all about. All that Jesus' mission on earth was about, summed up in this next verse. "He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers." Are you kidding? That's what it's all about? This is what the struggle is? That's what the Bible says. And look what happens if this relationship is broken, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. When we don't honor who we're supposed to honor, when we allow those wounds to fester, it keeps God from being able to bless us. And the default setting on the planet is a curse will come in, and the curse steals, kills, and destroys. You want to see some proof that this actually happens? I got some statistics for you on what happens with fatherless children. This will shock you, but then I'm going to bring the solution to this in a minute. Fatherless children, here's facts to prove the validity of the Word of God. Fatherless children are 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 8 times more likely to go to prison, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse a chemical substance, 20 times more likely to have a behavioral problem, 20 times more likely to become a rapist, 33 times more likely to be seriously abused, and 73 times more likely to be fatally abused. You talk about a curse coming, 73 times more likely to die from abuse if there's no fatherless children. Here's some statistics from the Alabama Department of Human Resources in the state of Alabama, a study they did through the Department of Resources. Fatherless homes in Alabama produced 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 85% of all children with behavioral problems, 80% of all rapists in the state, 75% of all patients in chemical centers, 71% of pregnant teenagers, 71% of high school dropouts, 70% of all juveniles in state-operated facilities. Daughters of a fatherless home were 53% more likely to marry as a teen, 92% more likely to divorce, and 164% more likely to be a single parent. What does that prove? Number one, the Bible is true, and that God's plan for the family is a good plan. God's plan for a mother and a father. And you say, well, you know, I don't have that situation. We're going to talk about some solutions to that and remedies to that. Because even if you no longer have a natural earthly father, thank God, God's created a church family. Thank God he's told us to relate to him as a heavenly father. We're going to talk about remedies and solutions to the fact that God knew that men would fail in their jobs completely, not just be imperfect like us that stood up today, but some would completely abdicate the responsibility. Does God have alternative help, methods to help with those fatherless children that can prevent these statistics from taking place? Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to give you solutions in just a minute. But I want you to know that trying to be a good father is better than not trying at all. As weak as some of you feel today and as inadequate as we all feel as fathers and crying out to God, we all know what it's like to raise children and go, God, I don't know what to do. What's happening? Why isn't it working? What do I do? It's so challenging and it's so difficult. If you're in that struggle, let me applaud you. The fact that you're still in that struggle, because many people just say, I can't handle it, and they run from it. That's the worst thing you can do. That's where the statistics come from. If you're trying as a single parent to make up, I believe God's going to come in there and help you and give you the strength and give you supernatural help and give you assistance through other fathers in the church, spiritual fathers, emotional fathers, and a heavenly father. See, even at the best of situations, our father cannot be there always. Sooner or later, you grow up and you move out. And it's all just designed to help us relate to a heavenly father. It's just a schoolmaster. It's like school. You don't stay in school forever. It's to train you for the real world. And even our earthly fathers are just temporary to train us to relate to a heavenly father who said he'll never leave us, never forsake us, never let us down, never abandon us. And never leave us when he said he's going to take us someplace. He'll always be there for us. God knew that fathers would make mistakes, large and small, and that these mistakes would leave hurts and wounds. So God instituted some principles to resolve these hurts and wounds. Now, if you grabbed a bulletin when you came in, there's some notes. There's some note-taking on the inside. And we're going to, on the front, there's a scripture and a place to take notes. Hopefully you already found that. And on the back side, I'm going to give you the solutions, three solutions to father's problem, father problems, and we're going to fill in those blanks. Number one is allow God to heal the father wound. You have to allow him. See, I could have rejected and resented what that pastor said and ran from it, and I'd still be punching people today. Still be struggling with rejection and fear and anger on the inside that I wouldn't know how to conquer. And you have to allow God to heal the father wound. And we're going to do our best today to pray for you. There's a book, though, for some of you men that have experienced that, and you say in your heart, you may not even know where it came or how it came, but you identify with what I'm talking about. I want to recommend a book to you called Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. It goes into detail on dealing with father wounds in your heart. Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. And then James chapter 5, let's look at this verse, 16, gives us another solution, how to deal with the father wound. It says this, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another such you may be healed. You say, well, I thought I could just confess it to God. You can, and he'll forgive you. But to be healed, sometimes you need to share it with somebody else. There's an old saying, you're only as sick as your secrets. You're only as sick as your secrets. As long as it's a secret and you don't share with anyone, I know it's hard sometimes, but I'm telling you, we're going to have some trained and trusted pastors and a prayer team up here to pray with you, and they'll keep whatever you share in confidence, but they're going to pray with you and pray for deliverance and help and for these wounds to be healed. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. That's what we're going to do today. So another thing you can do for number one, allow God to heal your wound, get in a small group. You know, we're always talking about small groups. We had an awesome small group meeting this week. I'm telling you, my small group of men that I meet with, God just showed up. It just, all of our small groups are doing so great. But you know what? This, you know, even though we're not a huge church, this is too big to know everybody and to develop relationships. You got to get into a small group setting where you develop relationships. You get to know people. And then you begin to have confidence. Well, I can share with this person. That's another place to begin to develop relationships where you can trust somebody and develop fathers in your life. Be a father. And then that brings us to number two. Solution number two on your sheet is find a father and be a father. Find a father. You say, well, I never had a father. Find a father. Find somebody in the church that you respect. Find a father that you can look up to. There are plenty of spiritual fathers in the church. Go to Growth Track 301. You say, what does that have to do? Today, we're going to have Growth Track 301, Discovery 301, where you discover how you are uniquely made and find out what your gifts are. And that's a step in the process of maybe getting on a team. There might be somebody in the church who say, well, you know, I'd like to hang around with Jerry more. He's a great father. He's a neat guy. So you could get on the parking lot team and start developing a relationship and getting to know him and then spend some time. Find somebody. Let God lead you. Go through Growth Track. Discover your gifts and start moving in the right direction. Get on a team. Lead a team. Find a father. Be a father. How do I be a father? You could get in a small group. Lead a small group. Some of you guys have been around for a while. You got so much character, so much wisdom. You need to just start a small group and be a father to some people. Get on a team, lead a team. Get in a small group, lead a small group. Look at this in Psalm 68:5. God speaking to his people and describing himself. He says, a father to the fatherless. There's hope for you no matter what you've been through. My father never knew his father. That's why he had some difficulties in knowing how to be a father. He never knew his father died when he was 4 years old. See, he never knew how to be a father. He did the best he could. Some of you are like that. Maybe your father didn't have a father or had a bad father. Maybe you never knew your father. But look right here. God says he's a father to the fatherless. And a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. It's called the church. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. You say, well, you know, I've had it bad. Well, he wants to lead you into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. What does that mean? Those that reject God's institutions, God's ways, they're just going to be lonely their whole life. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Those that say, well, I don't need a father and I don't want to be a father. Then you're stuck in your problem. with no hope and no remedy. God, there is a hope. It's in the church. It's in fathers, finding a father and being a father. Get involved in God's family. That's what the church is. It's a family. You say, yeah, but it's so imperfect. Yeah, just like you, just like your home, just like everything. It's all imperfect. It's not perfect. It's God's way. It's God's system. It's God's way of healing. Those imperfections are part of the things that God uses to perfect us. Get involved in God's family. And number three, relate to God as a father. Relate to him as a father. And sometimes this is hard because of the past, but he's a loving father. He's a perfect father. He's a holy father. You know, our number one job as a church is to help you connect with God. We can't solve all your problems, but I know somebody who can. And our job is to help you connect with God and see how important that is to be a friend of God. Walk with God. That's what Christianity is. It's a walk. It's walking with God. That's what God created man to do. Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day, he used to walk with them in the garden. That was the desire of his heart. And sin broke that fellowship, and God set a plan in motion to remedy that, to fix that, so we could walk with God. That's what it's all about. Religion is a man in church thinking about fishing. Relationship is a man out fishing thinking about God. It's a complete difference. I mean, you might have had religion like I did. Religion was just going to church, and I didn't know what they were saying. I was playing football, man. I was hitting home runs in church. I was sitting there, boom, look at that ball go over. Everybody's cheering. Look at me run around the bed. That's what I did. I wasn't there. I wasn't relating to God. That's just religion. It's just going through the motions. But a relationship is a wherever you go, whatever you do, you're thinking about God. And church just helps you in that, and it's part of God's plan. It helps you have a relationship with God. When you leave, you're thinking about him all week. If you go fishing, you're hunting or work, you're thinking about God. We need to think more about God. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. The disciples said, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray. And what did he say? Here's how you pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, honored, respected, revered is your name. It's all about honor. It's all about honoring God, and everything that the devil is doing in your life is about causing you to dishonor God, disrespect God, not to know him as a father, to be hurt and to be wounded. Do you know him as a loving father? Do you need to know him as a loving father? Do you need a fresh start with God? Maybe you need to start all of them. Maybe you need to start for the first time. Do you need some healing of some father wounds? I think everybody on this planet is going to have father wounds. You've either dealt with them or you've never dealt with them. You're aware of them or not aware of them. You thought about it, you'd never thought about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just the way it is. I don't want you to leave today with the same wounds that you came in with. Maybe you've never really been able to trust God because of what's happened in your past. Maybe you need to break the curse off of your life. Maybe you need to get in a small group. Maybe you're afraid of a small group because I don't want anybody to know me. Maybe you need to commit to be a father to someone. Maybe you need to make a decision to find a father in your life. Maybe you need to relate to God as a father like you've never been able to do. Maybe you need to commit your life to him for the first time. Maybe you go to church, but you're not close to God. You just bow your heads with me. Let's just all pray. We're all in a different place, and God's doing something in every one of our lives. I just want to give you a moment to talk to God and to let God talk to you. It's the best thing that could happen today. I've done a lot of talking. But if God talks to you, just take a moment and listen to the Holy Spirit. You might be here today. Maybe you've never committed your life to Christ. You're not sure what would happen to you if you died right now. Let me tell you, you can know without a doubt that you're going to go to heaven when you die if you surrender your life to him. Maybe you got wounds. Maybe you got hurts. God wants to do something fresh in your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you need to make a fresh start with God, I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you need to make a fresh start with God, and you want to be sure you're right with him, and you want to trust him as a father, you slip up your hand real quick. Okay. Yeah. Put your hands down. Hands have gone up all over. I will lead you in a prayer. You can say it in your heart, whisper it, however you want to do it. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you're a good God. I believe you love me. I believe you got a great plan for my life. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. I want to follow you. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord. Praise God. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. And as I said, we're